Today is Friday, November 6th, 2020. This is Chris Kretz for Stony Brook University Libraries interviewing Valentina Marzulli for the Documenting COVID-19 Stony Brook University Experiences Project over Zencastr. Valentina, thank you for sharing your experiences with us today.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
And let's start. Can you tell us what year you're in at Stony Brook right now and what you're studying?
I'm a junior, and I'm studying psychology for my undergraduate degree.
Okay. And what if we go back to the spring semester of this year, what were you most focused on going into that spring semester? So you would have been a sophomore then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess you mean like before COVID was a thing?
At the start of January, end of January.
I was just focused on, okay, I want to make the most of my time here. I want to make it a good year because fall semester was very stressful and busy and my mental health was all over the place. As I went into spring semester thinking, okay, I'm going to make up for that. I'm going to make it a good semester. I'm going to, you know, pay attention on my classes. I'm going to live in the moment and I'm going to do my best.
And what were you involved in around campus, activities or clubs or things?
I was in my building's hall council as a public relations officer. I'd been doing that since the fall too. It's a year-long position. So I did that. I sang in choir. I worked on campus as an events assistant. And I was just like also like very active like in my building. I just, you know, I was like a regular, if that makes sense.
Sure. And what building were you in?
Langmuir College.
Okay, great. And so when do you remember first hearing about the coronavirus?
So one thing I should have mentioned, I was also a teaching assistant for the undergraduate seminar that the first years have to take. It was like a continuation of it in the spring. So I met with the professor before the semester started just to kind of introduce myself and, you know, talk about our expectations. And I remember at the end, like towards the end of our meeting, she said to me, oh, you know, I'm looking at the attendance list for this class. And I see a lot of individuals who have like Chinese sounding names, Chinese born names. And there's this virus happening in China. So I wonder if it's going to be a problem. And like, you know, part of me was thinking, okay, maybe she's a little older. Maybe she's just like being old fashioned about the whole thing. But at the same time, I was like, she does have a point. We do have a very significant international population at Stony Brook. So like I was thinking, yeah, that virus is probably going to find its way into the United States. It's some people are going to get sick, but I remembered when the swine flu happened almost, I guess, 10 years ago now. And I was like, okay, that happened, but we got through it. So I just figured it'd be something like that. And I didn't think much of it after that.
So when did you hear about the plans to, close the campus?
I remember it was like the week that everyone was starting to panic. I don't remember the exact date, but it was like mid-March. And that was like when it reached New York, it was getting bad. And I was actually off campus at the moment because it was during our spring break. The first week of our spring break, actually, we got an extra week of spring break just following all the craziness. And we already knew classes were going to go online. So like that was to be expected. But I live on campus and I was really hoping they wouldn't kick us out because Stony Brook's like kind of like my home. And I was off campus and I had just finished a session with my therapist and we were doing it over the phone because of everything. And I remember like saying, one of the last things I said to her was, well, Stony Brook doesn't really plan to close the dorms because they know Stony Brook's home for some people. They can't just ask everyone to leave. So I'm going to probably just stay on campus. And then my parents live in Queens as well. And at the time, Queens is like the epicenter. You know, it was the rising epicenter of this pandemic. And I was like, I really don't want to go back. My father's high risk. I just don't want to be around that. I am scared. And then, like, literally, like, as soon as I hung up the phone and, like, refreshed my emails, I got the email from Stony Brook saying, we have to close the dorms. And I was like, oh, okay. This is pretty bad that they're closing the dorms, that they're, like, making us leave in the middle of spring break, a 2-week spring break. And it was also like, for me, it wasn't so much of an issue because my parents live in Queens, so that's like an hour away. But like, I felt it was very short notice.
So with your position in the hall, were there, what steps did you have to take, or what were you involved in any of the planning?
You mean like for hall council or?
Yeah.
Well, I remember the last time we had a hall council, it was like, you know, that week of like, you know, everyone's starting to panic. And we were kind of just like in a state of like, we don't really know what's going to happen. And I, you know, some people were like already just like making plans to like leave campus anyway, like before we knew we were going to be asked to leave, like for whatever reason. And I remember thinking like, oh, maybe I should spend some time with my significant other. He lives upstate and that like the situation wasn't as bad there. And I was like, well, it was, I mean, for hall council. And I remember like the president of our hall council, he was very understanding. He's like, if you guys need to leave campus, like do what you have to do. Like, don't worry, like your health comes first, stuff like that. But it was just like very, it was just frustrating because like we didn't really know anything, and frustrating and scary because like we didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know what the state of hall council would be. We just at that time, like we are assuming, okay, like we're going to be back, and we were like, is hall council going to be able to happen in person? Like what's going to be the deal? And I remember we kind of just ended it on a like, yeah, it was clear, like, you know, it was like the elephant in the room. Like everyone was like kind of uncomfortable. But we kind of left it on a good note, like, you know, it's like this, maybe this will be the last time we get to meet like this. And, you know, miss you guys if that's the case. But, you know, hopefully everything's going to be okay. And now, you know, we've resumed hall council. And at this point, I'm a general body member. I'm no longer an e-board because I serve on the Residence Hall Association. But, you know, it's online, but it's just different. It's not the same, especially because Langmuir's Hall Council, we were always known, like, even, like, before I got to Stony Brook, vibrant, weird community, you know, and everyone wanted to come to Langmuir Hall Council, and it's just different now because it's on Zoom, and there's not as much room to, like, you know, do our usual jokes and stuff because it's just a Zoom meeting. You can't make side jokes to the person next to you, stuff like that, and it just, like, ends within an hour versus we used to go on, like, for hours and hours through the night. So that's the state of hall council now, pretty much. I'm not as like closely involved with the affairs, but like, you know, as someone who's just going to hall council. And I remember
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, we usually like elect, we do our elections at the end of the spring semester, like for like president and stuff for the following year. And like, that didn't happen because we all left. And then when we started hall council this year, just kind of like, okay, we got to do elections for the first few weeks and pick someone. So it was just a mess, but now we're doing it. And yeah,
I was just going to back up a second and could you just explain briefly what hall council does?
So hall council basically is it meets every week, and it just is a opportunity for everyone in the building, and then, you know, everyone else is like always welcome from other quads or even people who are like commuters. Just like update everyone what's going on in the building, any events. And also, like, you know, we have senators who go to the Residence Hall Association meeting. So like they bring back information and they represent our building, and they let us know what's going on. Residence Hall Association is basically just like a student run organization that's like basically like it basically advocates for students, like specifically who are like living on campus. Yeah, so it's just a way for like everyone in the building to get together, let everyone know what's going on, and just have a good time. And Langmuir, you know, used to have like these really big hall councils because everyone would show up. Like I remember the very first time I went to a hall council for Langmuir, and it was absolutely packed. There were people from like other buildings, just like who weren't even from the quad, and they were just showing up. And I think about that, I'm like, can't have anything like that now because, you know, you got to social distance and keep down the capacity levels.
What do you remember about the day you had to leave campus?
The day I was leaving campus, it was just like a long day. Like I remember just like being in such an awful mental state. Like I didn't want to go, and like I wasn't really looking forward to going back to my parents' house either on top of that. So like that just didn't help things. I had tried to appeal of the decision because when we got the email from Stony Brook, I said, oh, if you're a teacher's assistant, you could potentially stay. And I was like, cool. I am, you know, as I mentioned before, I'm a teacher's assistant for the first year seminar. And they rejected my appeal on those grounds. And like, I didn't say anything about my home life because like, I just didn't for whatever reason. So I was like, all right, they denied my appeal. I can't do anything. I was just like, kind of like defeated almost, you know, I was like, I'm just going to go home. And my roommate had to go back home. She lived in Virginia and she had tried to appeal because like, you know, Stony Brook's also like kind of her home and like Virginia's like so out of the way and she hadn't heard back. And they said like, they would let you know in like 24 hours and it had been 24 hours and she hadn't heard anything. So she was just like getting ready to go home. And it wasn't until after she left that she found out that she could have stayed, but it was too late. It was just like, it just almost felt like there was like a dark, that whole week, like ever since coronavirus like got bad here and everyone was starting to like freak out, it was like there was this like haze over everything. And it really felt that way when I was like packing to go home. My boyfriend had come over to help with the process because he was using like his parents' car. They had like the big SUV and I was able to fit everything and that really helped me out. But it was just a time, you know, and it just sucked because I was like, you know, packing and saying goodbye to like my roommate and like our other mutual friend who like lived on campus. She got to stay because she was working, but you know, we weren't going to see her for a while. And it was annoying for me because I have a fish tank in the room also. So like anytime I have to move that, it's a struggle. And I had just gotten it. And I remember thinking, well, I have this fish tank. I'm probably not going to need to move it till like the summer because I would have to move wherever I need to go over the summer. And now it was like I had only had this fish tank for 2 months and I was already making this big move for my poor little fish.
How are the fish now?
Well, the fish in question, he's like since passed away, but I still have the fish tank and I've put like new fish in there and they're doing fine. And the goal is to at least keep them there until the summer. And I don't really know what summer is going to look like. So who knows where they'll end up, because ideally I'm an orientation leader on campus. I got that job actually like after we were sent home and everything, because I had applied to it like before coronavirus was an issue. And then like after the fact, it's like when I interviewed, like once we were home and everything. And that job usually results in like, if you're eligible, you get on-campus housing. So now it was online. So, you know, they weren't offering that as compensation anymore. So like, I don't even know what this summer is going to look like because I'm probably going to do it again. But we already know that winter orientation for like any transfers is going to be online. So I don't really know where those fish are going this summer. I don't know. It's so hard to plan for things.
Yeah. And in terms of the class you were TAing, what kind of steps did you have to take moving to the online after spring break?
I had a lot of respect for the professor and everything, but you know, she kind of just like, it was just like a hard class to be like an active TA for, other than like just me being in the background. Like, you know, I have to help out with like handing out papers, like back when you're in person and stuff. Like I kind of was just like another like point of contact sort of, but like I didn't do as much, you know, up front. Because there was just not much for me to do. And like, I think my professor was saying like she had never had like a TA before. So it was like new to her. So I was understanding of that. So then we move online. I was kind of doing like even less. And, you know, no disrespect to the professor or anything like that. It was just the nature of it. I would still zoom in and I would maybe chip in when I felt the need to share my two cents. But, you know, it just stank. You know, when I'm involved, I like to be involved. I hate just standing there.
So in terms of your own classes that moved online, how was that experience for you?
I didn't like it, obviously. I still like actually did like very well in all my classes, like which kind of like threw me in a loop. Like I'm normally like, I try to be a good student academically and stuff, but I don't know, I guess I just expected my grades to suffer when we went online. But I like finished with like close to straight A's for the semester, and like it was like I was doing honest work. Like I know a lot of people like might take advantage of the fact that we're online and, you know, maybe like, you know, use resources like that wouldn't be available to them if they're doing it in person, but like they were honest grades, I swear. But it just like the first few weeks, I was like, okay, this is new. We're doing this. We're online. And I was just trying to go into it with like a good state of mind. But like, as it became clear, like, this is how we were going to finish the semester. Like, I don't know. I just hated zooming in. It's very hard to like, even now, it's just so hard to stay engaged in an online class when you're just sitting there and staring at a screen. Like, I need to be doing something. Like, I hate whenever I have a Zoom meeting, I'm just, like, sitting there for hours just listening to something. Like, I'll do a long Zoom meeting if it's something where, like, I could be, like, involved in or, like, be engaged with whoever's there. So I didn't like it, obviously. But I was just like, you know, what else am I going to do? It was hard sometimes to, like, kind of, like, pick myself up and be like, okay, I need to do, like, meaningful work for my classes. And, like, I had one class that was, like, basically like meeting asynchronously where the professor would just like post the lectures and we'd kind of just catch up on our own. And that was, you know, I kept putting them off and then like trying to like go through all the lectures at once and then take an exam. It was frustrating.
So if we talk about your self-quarantine, what was your daily routine like in home isolation?
So I was back at my parents' house and I had my own room and, you know, back when school was like happening, I would just like get up whenever I usually get up like 2 hours before I have to do a thing. So that's what I was doing at first, but I had like one morning class that I was going to and I was like, I shouldn't get up so early for something. I could just like walk over a few feet, zoom in, not even have to show my face if that was the case. So I would get up like maybe like a half hour before. And then, like, I'd kind of just try to find stuff to do, like, clean my room for sure, because I like having a clean space, maybe annoy my mom a little bit, attempt to do schoolwork. It was so easy to, like, not. It was hard to, like, get myself to study because I just, like, didn't have the motivation. I was like, you know, we're in a pandemic. I'm not really worried about academics. But, like, at the same time, it's like, yes, I am worried about academics. I need to do well because I don't want to fail this semester. I would eat because I'd be bored and there's nothing else to do. I couldn't really go anywhere, obviously, because, like, you know, in the beginning of it, everything was, like, closed. And I also don't drive. So, and I still even haven't been on, like, any form of public transportation. You know, I was able to get away with not getting a driver's license because I'm from the city. I can just take the subway or a bus. And then here on the island, I take the railroad. But now I'm not doing any of that. So, yeah. Whenever there'd be like something to do, like if my mom had to like go somewhere run an errand, I'd be so eager to be like, I'll go with you, because I just wanted to like shake up my routine, you know. But like those first few like months, it was like very anxiety inducing because like I was just like scared of the virus. So I was like scared to go places and I'd, you know, be scared to like even touch my mouth. And it was just like, oh my God, like I'm looking back and I cannot believe like my mental state had gotten that bad, because I'd be so scared to like even like touch my own nose, or if I did, it was like instant like hand sanitizer. Because I guess my fear was like I was afraid like if I had something, I'd like give it to my parents, and then, you know, that could produce very unfavorable consequences. Like aside from the fact that like, you know, they'd get the virus if I had it for some reason, you know, being older, being parents, like my dad, you know, maybe could suffer a little worse than the virus than others. So like it was just living in fear for the first half of quarantine over that summer.
Did you find anything that gave you comfort?
Keeping in touch with my friends was good. Like I kept in touch with my roommate and our other girlfriend. You know, we'd do video chats and just like check up on each other. You know, she wasn't really having a good time in Virginia, and like I'm not really having a good time here either, but so it goes. My boyfriend and I, we, you know, talk every day, and I missed him a lot, and I didn't see him for like almost 3 months just because like of everything. Like nobody was really seeing each other and we didn't know what was happening. And I remember, like, he had come to visit during spring break because he was also on spring break, and, like, that was, like, planned anyway, like, before COVID was a thing. And I did have the option to, like, stay with him up in Buffalo, just, you know, because the COVID situation was like better there. So I felt like maybe it'd be like a little safer there. And also like, you know, home life's not that great for me. So I was thinking about it, but then I remember I came to the decision like, no, I should be there for my family. I should stay with them. And I didn't. But then I eventually went to stay in Buffalo like for the summer, like so like June to August, like literally summer. Not like this whole like mesh of like what we're calling the summer that was like spring break. That was supposed to just like be a week and we never went back. But I kind of like looking back, I love my family. I'm very close to my mom. I'm very protective of her, but I almost wish like maybe I'd went to Buffalo a little sooner because it was just better for me. To be around people and to do things, and you know, I guess I found comfort in the fact I'd be going there soon.
How would you describe your general neighborhood during this time? Were you going out at all or interacting with neighbors or?
No, I mean, I'd try to go out for walks or like if I remember it was the general election. So like, I remember like one of the first times I like actually left the house was to like mail my ballot because I'm registered in Suffolk County because I, you know, figured, okay, I primarily live in Stony Brook. I should change my registration. And then we get sent home right before the election. I was like, well, what was the point of changing my ballot? My voter status, because now I have to vote absentee either way. There was a trip to the pet store that I had to make with my mom because I needed to go to the fish tank. And that was like, we did like the whole like, oh, pick up in the, like in the parking lot, which is like, again, like one of the first times like I like started to go out. But like my neighborhood, you know, nothing was really like immediately happening. I didn't really see any neighbors. It was just like kind of me spending time at home. And it was just very isolating, obviously. And you know, just on top of like the pandemic, like there's already whatever like issues going on at home, any like conflict, I guess you could say. So like just it was just a mess, you know. Like I'm glad that I am able to be like a little more okay now in terms of my state of mind, because like looking back, I was like, I don't know how I did that, but I did it.
And how did you keep up with news about Stony Brook?
Just email updates, and also like a lot of people were posting on Reddit. And that was a bit of that was something, because, you know, people would get like different information and then like post it to like the Stony Brook Reddit, like, page, and it'd be like, well, I got this email from like this one professor who said this thing, but like no one else got it. Or like, you know, I don't know like how like faculty emails were getting linked, because like when we found out we were going online, apparently like a professor or someone who worked at the university like leaked it to Reddit, and it caused like a lot of frustration among the student body, because a lot of people like just happened to know these like plans or this like information, but like the students officially like weren't told anything. We had to like kind of wait to hear it, you know, from administration. So it was kind of just like, all right, let's just see what someone has to say on Reddit, go with that, keep checking my emails and keep checking the news, and it's all bad.
Coming back for the fall semester, has that changed your perspective on anything or how you approach your studies or?
Well, I feel like if anything, in terms of studies, like I am definitely at my burnout. Like I'd probably be at this around this point anyway, just given like what time it is during the semester, you know, we're getting to the end, things are getting busy, but just like, because everything's online, I, you know, no disrespect for Stony Brook University or anything, but I just frankly do not have the drive to really like participate in any of my classes. Except for, interestingly enough, my one in-person class is the one class where I really feel like I'm learning the most. And, like, even that, like, it's a frustrating environment to be in because, you know, we have to sit apart. I have to wear a mask in class and I wear glasses, so I'm, like, fogging up and I can't always see the board and I can't do anything about it. Because then if the glasses come off, then I still can't see the board. So it's just like, you know, what am I going to do? But, you know, I have a class with a professor, like, I just, like, cannot make sense of his train of thought, and I'm wondering if it's like, is he just like kind of like this when he's teaching, or is it because we're online and you get that disconnect? I don't know. And, you know, on one hand, I do feel like some sympathy for professors, because like maybe for some of them, this is like the first time. I mean, I know technically during the spring they had like the second half to like do it, but like now it's like we're doing it for real. Like we know it's going to be a thing. It's going to be a long-term commitment and they just have to figure it out. But, you know, I can't find it in myself to like really like do like to just stay like engaged in my class and like really pay attention. It's so easy to get distracted because, you know, I'm on my computer and like I am so busy with like a lot of non-academic projects. So it's like, you know, it's so easy to just be like, all right, let me just have three tabs open in the background and multitask while my professor's talking. I have a Spanish class online and like, you know, Spanish for me, it's like I struggle a little when it comes to like listening to someone speak it because, you know, it's very fast for me. So then like on top of it being online, like I literally started taking Spanish classes like when the pandemic happened. So that's been fun to navigate through. So, you know, I think I'm doing well in all my classes. I mean, a lot of my professors haven't really put up a lot of grades, but I guess I just want it to be over with. And I don't know, I'm already kind of dreading next semester.
Well, in that vein, what are you looking forward to?
Winter break. Just getting a break from everything. Well, yes and no, because I also like don't know where I'm going for the winter. So I guess what's something I'm definitely looking for. I mean, like I am looking forward to the holidays because my boyfriend comes home and it'll be good to see him. And like, I'm excited to see my own family and his family in whatever capacity, because you know that, you know, with when there's grandparents involved, obviously I'm not too eager to see them. I have not seen an elderly person since March. I guess I'm just excited for all the school responsibilities to stop so I could like try to be more me, you know, not just be trying to BS my way through an online class and like do more things for myself. And you know, hopefully see people, because like now that like it's a little better, or like at least now we know how to like safely navigate this virus more or less, so like I would feel like more comfortable like going out of my way to like see certain people. So I'm just looking forward to the break.
Sure. And finally, what would you like people to know about this time in your life and what you experienced of it?
I want everyone to know that like obviously I'm not the only one on this boat when it comes to the burnout, the, you know, the annoyance of everything being online. Obviously I'm not the only one who feels this way. I know a lot of people share that sentiment and I get it, but I'm just having a bit of a hard time right now. And I know this will end, but what's frustrating is like not knowing when, and who knows how long it'll take, because like even everyone's like saying, well, there'll be a vaccine soon. It's like, well, yeah, but like everyone has to get that vaccine, and already people maybe are a little hesitant because it's like a rush vaccine. So I know we're gonna get through this eventually. This can't last forever, but it's just a matter of when, how long. I can't believe it's been already 8 months of this, you know, like I had to say it out. I was talking about it with friends and we just like said it out loud, and I was like, oh, when was the last time I did something like that I absolutely could not have done like during this pandemic? Like, oh my God, it's like since February, you know, I left the country in February and I was like, I can't believe I did that right before COVID. So, you know, there will be an end, but we don't know when. So I think just it's important to be patient with everyone.
Sure. And just to follow up on that, so that foreign travel, was that something you were worried about, or was this before you had any concerns about?
This was in February, so like this was like COVID was like a thing, but like not really here. I had been visiting my boyfriend, and since he lives in Buffalo, like he's like right next to Canada, so you know, it was a Valentine's Day weekend, so we, you know, spent Valentine's Day in Toronto. And I just find it so funny, like I did that like right before all this craziness, because again, that's something I very much cannot do now. You know, the borders are like closed, they're so closed, you know, like I was in Buffalo for like such a long time, and I was like a half hour away from the border and I couldn't do anything about it. So, you know, that was like, I'd like to think of that as being like pre-COVID, and I wasn't worried. It was just like, yeah, just making a trip to Canada, something we frequently do when we're, you know, both up there. And I guess I'm lucky I got to go like right before they decided to close the borders on us.
Well, we thank you for sharing all of that, and, you know, wish you the best, and I'm sure we'll there'll be more questions at some point. But again, we thank you for sharing your experiences for the Documenting COVID project.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for allowing me to share my experiences.